Services, Lavazzi and Boop1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 250. It's our
Yay.
Christmas show.
Whoa.
And it's all festive with Mary Lang.
Every Christmas is the last Christmas.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
You're a dream construct currently representing either my recovering or expiring mind.
Rhys Parton.
As the doctor might say, it's a bit dreamy-weamy.
Robert Haynes.
Very, very, very dead.
Are you?
And Ben Shaveler.
Don't you think Stephen Moffat looks tired?
Good way. I think we all are, because as you said, to an unemployed person, 12 o'clock midday is like 7 o'clock in the morning. It's nearly midnight for me.
I've changed my mind on that. It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
It's a long story.
Oh, very good, very good.
Let's get in as many quotes as we can to start with. Hey, I bet I can say something about the episode that none of you lot can say.
And that is?
I only finished watching it 23 minutes ago.
Hey, I only finished watching it a second time 23 minutes ago.
Ah, so. But this was my first time.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
By the way, happy Christmas, everybody.
Ah. Happy Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas and Merry Boxing Day. Do you say that to each other?
Boxing Day? It's the day after Boxing Day.
Merry Boxing Day?
That was yesterday.
Yeah. Are you sort of on some sort of time?
It's Christmas, too. Yeah, we're saying Merry Christmas.
It's 2015 Robert. Over here in Australia.
Quiet. Right, what are we all? What Doctor Who things did we get for Christmas, then? Stop talking over me. I'll tell you what I got. I got the
Never.
Question mark jumper I'm currently wearing. I'll pull over. I've got bits of my lunch.
Aha,
I've also got the Peter Davison pullover, which is very nice and goes very nice.
Looks very nice on you, too. Yes. I saw the picture of it.
Yes, it sort of hides my fat. Yes?
You've got to be rolling your R's tonight or today.
No, I haven't eaten that much today, so no, I probably won't be rolling
him
my R's.
I was just trying to pick you up on the last comment, Adam.
Yes?
It really doesn't hide your fat.
I can dream.
You just look nice, fat and all.
I can dream. Yes, thank you.
All got that reference. We decided to ignore it, though.
Yes, what else did I get? I got a replacement TARDIS mug to replace the one that Deb broke. That was very nice of my in-laws to do that. So that's about it for Doctor Who presents. Although, you know those machines you get in supermarkets, little pound machines or cent machines. You put your money in, you turn the thing, a little ball comes out containing some tiny toy.
I know what
you
mean. Yeah.
Well, Isabella said, have you got a pound? Because we were at Sainsbury's this morning. Have you got a pound? I said, no. Oh, I did have one, so I'll go over a pound. And there was about six to choose from. She went to the Doctor Who one.
Did it hurt?
And
what?
Opened it
it's
up.
A
and
Doctor
with,
Who
within,
one?
There was a Doctor Who one. And within this tiny little ball was a tiny little weeping angel. She said, you can have that, Dad. I said, no, you can have that. So we sort of fought over who was going to have
Master?
It. And I
who looked at it?
Master? No, I'll give this to you as a gift. I'll give it to you as a gift.
Master?
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Could you do us a favor and go and take a photograph of said Doctor Who gumball machine or whatever? And
do you want the long answer or the short answer?
It's a long story.
Why can't you take a picture of it?
I don't often go to Sainsbury's because we do online shopping
most
of the
time.
It's
not there right now, okay?
Yeah.
No picture, it doesn't exist.
Yes.
Well, I can take a picture of the weeping angel at some point.
I think Isabella
left it in the car.
I just think it would be really cool to see a picture of a... vending machine.
Now.
A vending machine that has all Doctor Who stuff, because that would be just so cool.
Yeah, well, as I say, I don't... shop there normally.
You don't understand the lack of Doctor Who stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
Like I say, anyway, right, so moving on. Right, okay. So, like I say, that's what I got for Christmas. Ben, what did you get? Did you get any Doctor Who stuff for Christmas?
No.
Right, Rhys, what did you get? Did you get anything? Yes?
What I did get was some stuff.
Penis extender.
Is that it?
Excuse me.
stuff. Yeah, no. Oh, if you want to know, I got a nice jacket from my mother and father, even though they bought me a television earlier in the year, which was meant to be my Christmas present. They still bought me something else.
Wow, it's mothers and fathers for you.
How generous. Yeah. I got a lovely car to the Unstoppable Sex Machine t-shirt. I got a lovely car to the Unstoppable Sex Machine CD and DVD of a Giga went to a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Well, actually, my mum's maiden name is Carson. Unbelievably, I got the regulation 56 different types of selection box, and I got the Man United shirt, coloured reds.
I've got a same shirt, but they're tight fitting, so I've got extra large, and it makes me look a bit fat. The stripes go really thick. Really wide around my waist.
I also got a Superman t-shirt, which is quite cool, because I've already got a Superman t-shirt, but as most of you know, I lost 2.5 stone earlier in this year, and I managed to start wearing large-sized t-shirts, but in the next 6 months of this year, the last 6 months, I've managed to find most of that 2.5 stone that I lost. And so, one of my
did you find it when you were sitting there?
I found it in the cupboard with crisps. One of my friend's mums decided that she'd obviously seen that this weight gain was going on again. Nothing to the extent of Adam Pearson, by the way. But she bought me a triple XL t-shirt.
Wow.
Now, come on now. That's a couple too many X's for my life.
Yeah.
But apart from that, no, I didn't get any Doctor Who stuff at all. But the best present of all was having my little brother and his wife and their little baby over from Bulgaria for Christmas, because that was lovely.
Excellent. Hmm. Go on, Mary, what did you get?
Well, the only Doctor Who thing I got was from the son of a friend who doesn't realize he has to look at what the size tags say. I got a Madman in a Box t-shirt that's a junior's medium that even my very skinny daughter could not get into.
That reminds me of last year, Mary, when I got a brilliant Time Lord t-shirt from my friend who bought it for me in small. Mm-hmm. That, there ain't no way I'm going to get that without losing 5 points. It actually fits my 8.5-year-old daughter perfectly, though, but she won't wear it. So
that's a shame. Okay, Reese.
I got the collection of stories for each Doctor from last year 50th. For the 50th.
Yeah.
And it was in one big collection, and I quite like that.
Oh.
A book.
That was good. Nice. I saw that.
Yeah.
Robert.
Nothing.
Kirby.
I got a Knock Knock Who's There Doctor shirt, which I'll put a picture of that up on Facebook later. And Julia got a TARDIS towel that's like a beach towel size.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah, you posted a picture of that.
That's pretty much all the Doctor Who stuff.
Oh, well, that's right then. Well, so therefore, this week,
yeah, it's pretty slim pickings here. It is, Doctor Who stuff.
Mary, with me and Adam Pearson on board, you can't call anything about this podcast slim.
You can. Robert and Mary are quite slender.
Yeah, but, you know, on the law of averages, mate.
Yeah, right. Right, changing the subject. This week we're going to be looking at Last Christmas, a Doctor Who special that was on Christmas Day on BBC One.
You mean last Christmas, the regeneration episode?
Or just generally Last Christmas as in 2013?
No, Last Christmas as in the title of the story. Last Christmas.
I mean, seriously, I got through a litre and a quarter of vodka in 2 days. I can't remember this Christmas, let alone Last Christmas.
And, this particular episode is quite unusual in the fact it was the earliest broadcast Peter Capaldi episode so far.
Yeah, man, I really geeked out on that fact. That was really important for me.
Seeing as it's always been the same here in Australia, I definitely geeked out on that.
Meanwhile, the episode starts with Clara in bed. And she hears a crashing. She hears a crashing.
Now, this is a family episode.
And goes outside and finds a crashed sleigh on a roof. I don't remember having a roof quite like that, but I suppose it's the top of a building, flat block that she's got. I don't know, but anyway.
Didn't we see most of this section
in
about
Children
a month
Eve?
Ago?
Yes, we did. We saw all of this section about a month ago.
I didn't.
Well,
I didn't.
Robert. So basically, Father Christmas is trying to pretend he's not really Father Christmas, trying to sort of pass it off when, of course, he is. I love the reindeer sort of all sort of running loose or flying loose around the houses. And, of course, you get to see Dan Starkey playing a character that is not a Centauran,
yeah.
Which is really
yeah. Weird. Yeah, still have makeup, though.
Or whatever it is that he plays on that the replacement for Sarah Jane.
Oh, yes. I know, the right? Little fish thing.
Yeah.
Wizard versus Aliens or something.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
The Doctor then turns up and says, oh, yes, I'm really black, blah, 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 come with me, etc., etc.
He's really black.
Back, I said. Did you not? I know it's a bit of a connection.
I thought he said black.
I'll be quiet.
Yes, I thought he said black.
You know what I mean.
I thought too.
You know what I mean.
I've got some news for you, Clara. I'm really black.
Shut up. Nick Frost gets a mention in the title sequence. So, unfortunately, we see the Doctor's eyebrows.
Ooh, it's all
it would be funny, yeah. Actually, if they're going to change the eyebrows in the title sequence to actually have Nick Frost's eyebrows instead, or just the beard, maybe, I don't know, for this particular episode.
Well, I like that part of the title sequence was frosted over, too.
Yes.
It was.
It had snow on it.
I still hate that title sequence.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when they
you
change
hate
it to a more...
Yeah,
about I look forward to it being
I
changed.
Hate everything.
Especially the title thing.
It's not my favourite. It yeah. Probably falls slightly below, or maybe
oh, it
above.
Is frosted over. Okay, cool.
Slightly forward, slightly above the Sylvester McCoy one for me.
I knew you were going to say that.
Which I don't like.
But I'm right there with you.
Yeah, thank you. About time. Right, yeah. the other thing, we talk about title sequences, is of course, the theme tune, which they really do need to try and go back to incorporating a bit of a sound bite from... Dealey Derbyshire's composition just in the music
yes.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
In this
yeah.
Modern day and age, and bearing in mind they did it nearly 10 years ago with the original series of New Who, bring it back is what I say, especially the sting. We want the sting back as well. Cause
it's, yes. Just like, yes. It's just like they're playing all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order.
That's right, yeah. Right.
So the Doctor and Clara go to the North Pole sort of base. Quite sure what they're doing at this base. It's a base, isn't it? But I don't know what they're all there for. Apart from the fact that, of course, these...
it's a long story.
Santa. It's a long story, of course.
Yes. Yes.
And this woman's sort of walking through the infirmary to probably get to the other side. I don't know why.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Why is she walking through that room? We don't know. Yeah.
Well, here's one for you. Why did the woman cross the infirmary?
To get to the other side.
No idea.
I don't know. Anyway,
to inspect the bodies that they'd found.
No, she couldn't inspect them with her eyes closed. No,
she was inspecting herself, as it turned out.
I think she was trying to get to another part of the complex without getting done in.
Yeah, but hold on. The only other bit of the complex was the bit that Doctor and Clara came in from, which was a door on the outside. Well, so where was she
maybe, going? Yeah, but maybe she didn't know that. Maybe she was trying to get outside.
It's a dream.
No, she had no reason to go through there.
It's a dream.
Part of the dream.
Exactly. Right. What I'm saying is, but initially, when you don't know it's a dream when you first start watching it, so you're thinking she's trying to... That's why she's walking through there. So it had some sort of reason. Yes. She had a reason to go through that room.
Anyway, she's then interrupted by a skeleton man and a girl in
a nightie.
Yes.
Of course, gets a bit carried away dancing to Merry Christmas, Everybody. She's quite funny dad dancing. I thought she did actually in there. Maybe it's just the sort of dancing you do, Ben, when you're drunk?
Drunk.
No, when I'm drunk, I don't tend to do dancing. I tend to do sitting down and slurring. And a lot of dribbling. And also crisp eating.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Doctor very quick. Did you notice straight away when those sort of heads were opened up, there was faces inside them? Did you notice?
Yeah.
I thought, ooh, what's going on there? That was
Quite
interesting. In fact, it was so interesting that we watched it around my in-laws' house, and it's always a bit of a danger when watching Doctor Who around my in-laws' house because they talk a lot. You don't actually get to hear the story. But on this occasion, they shut up.
They shut up.
They all sort of sat there watching it. With great interest, which is very rare, and it hasn't happened since the RTD era that they actually were engrossed enough in the story to actually sit and watch it.
You should watch a good episode with them and see what happens.
Too much alcohol.
What? And Isabella was closest to the screen, and she had the opportunity to hide behind the chair, but she actually stayed on the chair and watched it from there. In fact, she actually averted her eyes from her game. What do they call those Game Boy things now? Nintendo DS, 3DS.
Yeah, DS,
and watch the TV instead of her Nintendo 3DS.
Obviously played before.
It must have been fairly good. What do you mean,
Pokemon?
No, she's got a Tamagotchi thing on there, which is a current thing she got for Christmas.
This is not Tamagotchi life, is it?
Might be. Yeah, she's highly addicted to it. So, so back to the episode. Yeah, Father Christmas. Sorry, Santa arrives with the little elves. Brilliantly cast elves, I have to say.
Master, is there supposed to be a difference between Father Christmas and Santa?
There isn't, but on this episode, I think his title was Santa.
Yes, there is. In America, they say Santa more. In the UK, they say Father Christmas more.
Oh, right, Santa. Yeah, I know that.
It's about half and half, I
that's the difference.
Yes. Santa is an elf.
Except doesn't Father Christmas live in Lapland instead of the North Pole?
To a degree. That's only for financial gain for the people in Lapland who run the tours.
Father Christmas has got a tax dodge going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got three homes, one in the North Pole, one in Lapland, and one in Greenland.
Yeah, and one in Harrods.
And he spends a third of the year in each one, which means he doesn't actually have to pay tax into any account.
And he hardly does any work. I mean, one night a year, good grief.
Yeah, but
paid an awfully big hourly rate, though, Reese. And, of course, because it's Christmas Eve, he's actually on quadruple time. And so that's up, man.
Yeah.
And he works for 23 hours. So, was it 26 hours? I think it's 26 hours he works for.
Okay, anyway.
It's true. He'd probably have to spend the rest of the year hibernating to make up for that, wouldn't he?
Drifted so much, I forgot to mention, obviously, a member of the Troughton family that was in this particular episode.
Yes.
Which some people might call stunt casting, but that, I quite enjoyed it. He was the one that was in The New Statesman, wasn't he, Ben, this particular Troughton?
I don't know. I'm still getting over the fact that you just said a really rude word. Or did my ears hear it wrong?
I hope. I didn't say any rude words, and yes, your ears heard it wrong.
Yes.
It was something about stunt casting.
Stunt casting.
Oh, right, okay. I've got those first two words mixed
up. Clearly, yes.
But then again, I thought you were talking about Stephen Moffat.
Anyway, the Doctor manages to capture one of these crab thingies that obviously thinks it's dead when it's clearly not
Master,
going to be.
Master.
What now?
Nope.
No.
Santa gives it to him.
Santa gives it to him, yes.
Oh, right, I'm sorry, I've only seen this twice.
Will it get really annoying if I Santa was... everything you say, Adam, if I say, except they didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look,
Santa's supposed to be helping them. Why would he give them a living crab thingy?
Because it's a dream.
It's a dream.
Because he didn't.
Because he did in the dream.
Yeah,
right. Yes.
So,
except he did. Master, you cannot ask questions... dealing with the logic of this story.
I know.
Oh my god!
It's a dream.
Every episode is so Kirby can't be pedantic.
Yeah. It doesn't matter because I love it.
It's still a story at the end of the day, right? So,
answer to every question is it's a dream.
Yes. It's a science fiction. Exactly. Thank you. That's my point.
Although before I discovered it was a dream, I still liked it.
Right. Moving on.
Yes.
Thank you. Where did I get up to? So the Doctor rather ominously sends Clara to pick up the dead crab.
Except he
knew that something was going to happen at that point.
Except he didn't.
No, he didn't because it was a dream. He did. He did in the dream.
All right. Okay.
Wait a second. The Doctor gives Clara crabs?
Look, I'm saving my sherry to the end of the episode. You should do too.
You might need it now.
Yeah. Anyway, is it Michael Troughton, this particular Troughton, that's in this?
Yes, that's his name.
He's
younger brother to David.
He's munching on a great big turkey leg, massive turkey leg, in the dream, of course.
Say something different there.
Yeah, very good.
How many he had to go through in order to film over and over and over.
It was half the size before they started filming.
Anyway, so Clara, meanwhile, she was going to get caught by this crab thingy and then wakes up in an idyllic little flat with lovely Santa Danny. And this seems great when she...
Not Father Easter.
Yeah, that's really great. I love that Father Easter bit, and she's sort of.
And see, this I think was the stunt casting, because apparently during the preview showing at the BFI, they told everyone don't tell anyone in the. They told the press at the BFI don't tell anyone that Samuel Anderson is in this.
Well, just like they did with Jenna Coleman in Asylum of the Daleks.
Excuse me. I'm just going to go and get a couple of bottles of vodka so next time anyone says stunt casting, I can then say it wrong deliberately. But
anyway, so I like the bit where the, obviously the words are dreaming are on the blackboard and she rubs it across and it changes. She
puts, hey,
what?
Do you want to hear something sad?
Oh, no, not if it's not too sad.
Is it a sad story about the chalkboard?
Do I need a tissue?
No, it's about Michael Troughton's wife. She had MS and died in the summer of 2012.
Oh, thank you, Robert. Let's raise the tone of a Christmas episode of the show.
Happy Christmas, everybody!
Yeah. One, two, three.
Well, it's got that she was married from 1981 to 2012, and thinking, what happened in 2012? I thought maybe they divorced, and then they found out she died.
Can I give another fact on the Troughtons? And this is also quite sad, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, Michael Troughton was in this episode.
Yeah.
Right, well, Patrick Troughton, who was Doctor Who, who you might know, he unfortunately is dead.
Oh,
wow. He'll live forevermore in the memories of Doctor Who fans, because we can always watch the surviving episodes of Doctor Who.
Okay, now that we're all bummed out.
Except
we can't.
Tell
me William Hartnell's dead, the man who started it all.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's the real downer.
And Sidney Newman and Verity Lambert. It does happen.
What?
Moving on. So, yeah, it's... So basically,
I like live forever for the magic of videotape.
When the doctor arrives in the dream and tries to persuade Clara to wake up, I do like the bit where he says,
"The Beatles have split up."
Shut up! I like the line where he says, "Danny Pink died
dead.
Saving."
What?
Shut up! Saving the world, and Danny then shut up
next year.
Shut up! Shut it up!
Anyway, I do like the bit.
You can make it all wibbly wobbly timey wimey and make it make sense.
Well, it wouldn't make sense. It's a dream for God. It's about a dream over a dream over a dream over a dream. It's got to be a slight bit of lacking in making sense. But the fact that they are dreaming makes it make sense. Moving on, I like the bit.
Julian, you'll wake up in a minute and realise you haven't even started the podcast yet.
I bloody hope so.
Yes, this whole disaster was just a dream.
Julia and I identified six levels of dreams. There might be a seven. It depends. At the end, they might still be dreaming. Well, they are because of the tangerine.
Drive at it, please.
Well, that's very interesting, but I'm still waiting to find out what happened.
Bloody crash me iPlayer because you lot have been waffling on. I've got to reboot my iPlayer now.
Dream? Are we still recording?
Yes! Where's magic?
It's a dream.
Hey. It's a dream
a
recording.
Tangerine Dream, isn't there?
Oh, very good.
Okay.
Oh, nobody likes the tangerines.
I'm not sure if we are awake or not, because Father Christmas has just walked in.
No, I'm trying to find the bit I really liked when the doctor says that Danny died saving the universe, and he says, "No, I died saving Clara. You lot just got lucky."
Yeah, that was good.
Well, you know, but it's true. I mean, he only cared about Clara. Yeah. Wasn't it the Brig who saved everybody?
No, I thought the Brig just saved, just allegedly killed the Master.
Yeah.
The Master's dead!
Anyway, so basically, about halfway through the story, it all starts sort of unravelling into this sort of complicated layer upon layer of dreams.
Oh, God, though, not Osama bin Laden as well.
What?
What?
Oh, yeah, him.
Elvis?
And Saddam Hussein.
Oh, dear. Right, so...
Stevie Wonder?
What?
He's not there. No, he's not yet. No, but when people listen to this in the future, he will be. King Charles III?
Third?
Shakespeare?
You've got to be careful what you say. Especially if you say, like the president of North Korea. You don't want to say something like that, do you? Just in case somebody might hack the Podbean site and buy 20 megabyte podcast. All right. So, yeah.
That brought the conversation back to the ground, Adam. Hold on.
Thank you very much. They might. I quite like the scene where the doctor got the manuals out and got them to read the first line of a random page.
Oh, yes.
That was really
good. That was good.
Yes.
What else have we got here that's quite interesting? Yeah, and of course, it turns out the Father Christmas spoilers. I would have thought everybody listened to or watched this episode before listening to this one. Father Christmas was actually the human mind trying to fight against this invasion.
Which, it was a dream that was trying to save them.
Yes, exactly. Although the Doctor isn't human, or is he half human? The eighth one was, apparently.
On his mother's side.
Side? Of his mother.
They eventually. Oh, yeah, they think they've solved everything and go to leave, and then the Doctor, because something happens, the Doctor realises that they were still dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
They go back inside, and eventually they find a way out. They wake up and end up on the sleigh. Father Christmas's, Santa Claus's sleigh, which it sort of produced a scene that of slightly better done scene that reminded me of the one from A Christmas Carol when
Carol,
the shark,
I prefer this version of that. To be fair,
although since it was a dream, they should have brought the shark in. Still,
no, I prefer the idea of the doctor, sort of riding Father Christmas. Sorry, Santa Claus.
What? The doctor riding Father Christmas?
The sleigh.
What kind of sick bastard are you?
Father Christmas had... Sorry, Santa Claus had turned on the northern lights, so they were to get their bearings right.
I'm riding a sleigh, yippee-yay-yay.
I really enjoyed the doctor's ecstatic enjoyment doing that.
Then, of course, they gradually start disappearing, including the little Scottish woman that used to be in Casualty. She arrived back in her wheelchair, rather sadly.
We should swap numbers. We could go get a curry.
Yeah. Well, I can do, but I'm going to have a Chinese tonight. But thanks for that, Reese.
I've got leftover turkey.
Have you got leftover turkey? I had that yesterday.
And beef and gammon. Just went to my mum's to pick
it up. That's what we had yesterday, leftover turkey with gammon.
We went and had takeout Chinese as well, and I still have some left over. It's probably going to be breakfast.
Alicia had takeout Chinese. Takeaway Chinese yesterday. I got it delivered.
Takeout.
She came home with her boyfriend. Oh, I want a takeaway. And we're saying, I don't think there's any takeaways opening, Cows. So she phoned up some takeaway in Newport that delivered for her. The funny thing was, I was in the front room and opened the door and went, and that bloke said, oh, I've got a Chinese for you. Oh, excellent. So I took her and I sort of went into the dining room because she was upstairs with her boyfriend. I said, Deb, we just got a free Chinese. I sort of delving into it. And Alicia then burst into the room and said a couple of expletives, grabbed the bag and went off upstairs.
You just said that there's no takeaways opening cows. So are you telling me on the island that you have different takeaways in different animals?
Right, shut up.
Shut me up.
On Boxing Day, no takeaways opening cows, takeaway restaurants or whatever. Anyway, right, so moving back to the episode. So the doctor wakes up by the TARDIS, thinks Clara, races to Clara's side, and of course Clara's quite old.
That's an
interesting
that
twist. Of course, but he's still dreaming, but it's beautifully done. And then, of course, they wake up again, and he goes back and... it's even keener to find a younger Clara. I love the bit where he says you look the same to me and they sort of flashback to her being young.
Yeah.
And then when he goes and sees the young Clara, he's not quite sure it's the same and gives her a mirror. Absolutely brilliant. And
I don't know. Have a look. Is that good enough?
And the way his attitude towards her changes when he begs her to come with her in the TARDIS. It was just lovely. And,
but is it in a dream, though?
No, shut up. Yeah, they'll know because they'll have a pain in the side of their head. They'll know whether they're dreaming or not.
Not
necessarily. That could be a part of the dream state.
I don't care. Yes. I'm only thinking about this story. I don't care if it goes on there dreaming for the rest of the blooming. There's a blooming Bobby Ewing thing.
You know what this means?
What?
This means that, that Moffat could completely wipe out everything that happened in the next year and in last year by claiming it was all a dream.
Yes, I wouldn't put it past him, but he hasn't done it yet, so we'll leave it at that, shall we?
Yes, I wouldn't put it past him.
Right, so...
the whole Clara thing could be a dream, and the Doctor will wake up as Matt Smith.
But yeah, the fact that he's all buoyant and boy-like, boyish, you know, towards the end is great. Right, so that essentially is it. We get the title of the next episode of Doctor Who, Magician's Apprentice, which implies that Clara won't be in it, but it does say in that thing that Clara and the Doctor will return.
She will be back. Mm-hmm. She's back.
But maybe there's another companion.
Why would that imply that she wouldn't be in it?
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
She's the apprentice.
Yes, all right. I'm just saying there wasn't... Before the bloody episode went out, there was an implication that she wouldn't be in it because it said that and they were thinking it was going to be a new blooming companion.
Yeah, but then it said the Doctor and Clara will be back. So
that was it. No, it was revealed before that episode was shown. It was revealed before the episode was shown that the title of the next episode would be that. So people were then thinking, oh, Clara won't be in it. Because they were saying...
You
were
They explicitly put out that Clara would probably be leaving during the Christmas episode. So when she was choosing to stay in the dream, I thought, oh, okay, well, that means she's going to stay in the dream with Danny and we won't see her anymore.
That's what you hoped, Mary.
I didn't necessarily hope that.
It would have been a nice ending, but she's staying. So.
The order of events that I recall is that at the BFI screening, that's where the title of the next episode was revealed, and the fact that she was staying, both of those together occurred at BFI about 2 weeks ago.
Excuse me.
Thank you, Robert. That's lovely. Right, okay. Well, thank you, Kirby. All right, so that was essentially it for Last Christmas. Now, I'm going to start with what I thought of it, because I know you lot are going to bloody lay into me. I watched it, quite enjoyed it first time round. So then I watched it again this morning. First time I watched it on Christmas Day. Right. And then I watched it this morning and enjoyed it even more. And I'm sorry to say it's quite high up in my...
Why are you sorry to say that?
Because I know you lot are going to say how that I'm talking tosh. Well, I actually really enjoyed this. It's one of my favourite Christmas specials. It's probably the most Christmassy feeling Christmas specials that has been on for a while. And it's my second favourite Capaldi episode so far.
Is that Christmassy feeling you're talking about in the Doctor Who episodes, Adam, to do with the fact that everyone could have died? Because that wasn't very Christmassy.
It just had that sort of air of Christmas, Christmassy-ness about it.
I don't know what your family
I don't know if it's because Father Christmas was in the whole thing or not. It just felt Christmassy to me. Unlike the Christmas Carol, which was supposed to feel Christmassy. Yes, you can.
Can I ask something then? So that means Michael Troughton's character died.
He did,
in real life. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I've just seen in this thing that's just been I've just read saying that Clara's in the entire next series.
Yeah. Good. That's what I'd like to see.
Yes.
And hopefully they'll go to Lanzarote and do a rerun of Planet of Fire and have somebody rescuing her in a bikini. Not Turlough, obviously, but somebody.
I will.
Yes, it'd be cool to get Turlough back in, actually. He could do it.
Right, so that's what I thought of it. Kirby, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it the first time through, and then I watched it again last night and loved it even more. Just really, and it's, I think, my third favorite Christmas special.
Okay, below what?
First two, I waffle back and forth between Christmas Invasion and what's it called?
Christmas Carol?
No, I don't like Christmas Carol.
End of Time.
Doctor the Witch and the
Snowman.
No, oh gosh, no.
Snowman.
No.
Snowman. Right.
It's 7:36 in the morning. I just woke up and having trouble recalling.
Of course, this was Clara's third Christmas special.
Yes.
Oh yes.
So I think didn't Karen Gillan 2-3? I can't remember now. But she wasn't a big part of the first one she was in, was she?
This was also Dan Starkey's third Christmas special.
Wow.
Yeah, he was. In Christmas Carol, she and Arthur Darvill were just on that crashing ship at the beginning and the end. So
it was an Amy Light episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they appeared very quickly at the end of The Doctor, the Widow, and The Witch and the Wardrobe and the whatever it's called.
The worst Christmas special ever, yeah.
And they were in one.
And it's Runaway Bride.
So they did do... I know Amy did three, didn't she? So if Clara can hang around and do the next Christmas special, she would have been in four. Yes, Kirby.
Julia watched this with me, and she did not particularly like it. She said she is an extreme fan of Inception and couldn't... Obviously, this was influenced by Inception, and it was just too...
Are you saying Inception?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, yeah, sound like
I liked Inception, too, yeah.
Yeah, the thing is that... The thing is that it was just too she couldn't break them apart enough to enjoy this show. And so she didn't really like it.
Okay. But Inception, they knew starting out what they had to do. Yeah. I mean, they had it all planned out. This was one surprise after another.
Yeah. I liked Inception as well. But yeah. I didn't have any problem.
I've got it on my iPod.
I think that... I told her last night she had to watch it again, watch this episode again, and she said no.
Okay.
Oh.
And Fred still has not watched it. I think it might be a little bit scary for her. So.
Not scary.
No.
There's only obviously those.
If Isabella can watch it,
reminded me of an episode of Doctor Who, Star Trek slightly. But anyway, yeah. Moving on. Thank you, Kirby. What did you think of it then, Reese?
I loved it. I agree with Kirby in that it isn't the best. My personal favorites are A Christmas Carol, The Snowmen, and The Christmas Invasion, and they're kind of all the top three, but this one's quite good. What was that?
Shut up,
he was being silly. Carry on, Reese.
Okay. I was being Robert.
yes.
I enjoyed it. I thought that it certainly felt very Capaldi-esque. It definitely felt like it fit in with his era so far.
Yes,
and I loved Nick Frost just having a go at him, like after the line I opened with, which was, it's all very dreamy-weamy. There's always the thing about stop being so negative, stop having a go at me. You're meant to be happy and jolly. Well, look at your bedside manner, and he keeps doing the accent and picking on him.
Yes.
Which I quite liked.
Yeah.
I also like the idea that that line I quoted earlier about, he's a dream trying to save us. He said, I'm Father Christmas. You just defined me or something like that. I thought that was a great idea. Because he really is. And, it just had these nice concepts of belief in Father Christmas and how the subconscious looks for figures like that to keep us going, I guess, in desperate situations. And I thought that, yes, it was very similar to Inception, which was a brilliant film, so it's good to copy good stuff. And it also had an element of Alien in there, but that was deliberate. They referenced it, which led to a great line. Uh-huh. There's a horror movie called Alien. That's really offensive. No wonder people invade you.
I
knew what it was doing. It was copying things, but it was doing it deliberately.
I posted a screenshot of the Christmas Day itinerary of the one character. The DVD is watching.
Had a Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones marathon.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you done, Reese?
Well, I just wanted to say that it was all right seeing Danny come back, but did he really have to come back? There was no,
I didn't mind that. I thought in reference to that's what Clara would dream about. So
that's true. I like it for that. The idea of it, but it did kind of slow
the episode
down.
Because she kept on going on about it, didn't she? Leading up to that, she was talking about, Danny and stuff. So I thought it was a nice surprise when it happened, but it didn't feel like it didn't fit into the story. So I was quite happy with that. But.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True. And it also gave him a chance to say why he did what he did in the finale. He saved Clara, not everyone else. They just got lucky, like
absolutely,
you said.
Yeah. The character went up in my estimations after that particular scene.
I'm going to jump the queue now and tell you what I think because the wife's just...
Go on then.
It was all right.
It was bollocks. Oh.
I wasn't overly taken with it, to be honest with you. I don't think I'd bother watching it again. Look, my two favourite programmes on telly ever are Dallas and Doctor Who, and they've now both had a massive dream sequence in it, which just gets a little bit tiresome after a while, because you can Dallas write anything into a dream and then get rid of it, and that's what Moffat will probably plan to do at some point. I really didn't like the Danny Pink. Get rid of Danny Pink. So old. He's so last year now.
Yeah.
And just let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Ride with the wind.
It just gets on my threatening bits, to be honest with you. There's too much dreamy weamy stuff going on. It's Moffat trying to out clever himself again and think he's clever when he's not. And it was all right.
Can I just ask, how is it Moffat trying to out clever himself, whereas whoever wrote Flatline was just, oh, that's a really clever idea? Whereas if it's Moffat coming up with something creative, he's suddenly trying to be really clever.
You've just answered your own question there in a way, Reese, because he's not coming up with it. He's copying things. He's copying things that have already been done. The whole of that episode was copied off a Doctor Who comic that he saw years ago, where he got the idea from. As we've mentioned, they nicked bits from Inception. They had lots of bits about Alien in it. It's not original. You can mash up loads of different songs.
This was deliberately not original. What about season 5? Yeah. That was original.
I grabbed the point that, you know, this was... He didn't set out to... he did set out to copy a lot of stuff, but... It wasn't the best. I've got many favourite Chris. I almost like the Doctor, the Witch, and the Wardrobe better than this. I mean, it was just wasn't my favourite. And the fact that I waited 2 days to watch it after seeing a couple of clips of it may add to that feeling. I think I won't delete it off my TiVo box, but I probably won't watch it again.
Well, that's a bit of a shame.
This isn't the first time that Doctor Who has used something else as to influence things. I mean,
Christmas Carol. What the dickens is
as Frankenstein? I mean, Deadly Assassin is Manchurian Candidate. Yeah. I mean,
yes,
it's been happening forever.
Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby.
Yes. Yes.
Hang on. I've got to line this up. I know it's not very slick, Ben, but I've got to. Kirby, this is the 250th episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, and that is the best point you've ever made on the show!
This ties in with a brilliant tweet that I saw.
Hang on, I'm waiting for the Helen. There we go. Yeah, sorry. My computer's running slow because I had another window open earlier on. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Kirby. That was great. Yeah.
So if you've got windows in your house open, your computer runs slow.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're cold.
You live on a really weird island.
Shut up.
Are you not?
Right, Robert, what did you think?
I'm going, by the way. Thanks,
bye,
everyone.
Ben. Thank you for joining us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'll
see you next year. September.
Will you?
Okay.
When the new series starts.
No, we've got an earthly child next week. Well, next time.
I'll speak to you in September. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Go on then, Robert.
Yeah, it was not bad. I quite liked the ideas behind it. And funny, I love Inception, but when I was watching it, I didn't even think of Inception. It wasn't until I was looking online that people were pointing out the similarities with that. But, I like the way it because when I first saw the things, I thought, oh, they're like facehuggers from Alien. And then they go and mention it in there. I like that sort of bit. And, the remote control thing with the reindeer as well. it was quite fun. And I sort of had a flashback to Waters of Mars with the – this was kind of like a
– Well,
it wasn't a polar set. Yeah, but, that sort of – base kind of idea. And I was thinking, where's this all sort of leading to?
North Pole?
It's got stripes on it, you know.
Yes. Otherwise, the female tail was turning.
So I thought that was good. So it made it unpredictable because I like sort of things where I think, oh, I wonder where this is going. And so it had me sort of, you know, wanting to see more. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Excellent.
And I don't compare with last year's or the year before or things like that because
no,
pretty much like all Doctor Who anyway. So.
Yes.
And can I just say before we move on?
No, you can't.
Tying back into what Kirby said, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm a rebel. Tying back into what Kirby said, there was a great tweet that said Philip Hinchcliffe can nick bits from movies 30 years ago and it equals genius. Moffat nicks bits from movies and it equals Moffat must go.
Right, Mary, what do you think?
Are you all sitting down?
Oh, God, hang on. I've got to get the appropriate jingle ready. Go on then, Mary.
My chair. Well, I really enjoyed it. Well, in my books, it was well written, and yes, it nicked things, but I thought it did it deliberately. But I thought that was very cleverly done. I know my daughter was watching it with me, and all through the first, 10, 15 minutes, she's saying, well, why are they in this space? And why is this happening? Yeah. And where are they doing? And I said, I don't know, you know, but I'm sure if we hang in here, we're going to find out. And that's what the hook was and kept me going through this whole episode was, you're like, what's next? What's going to explain this? And, you know, and so it kept me going, and I enjoyed that. I think that's very clever writing. And, yes, I almost immediately thought of Inception, but I think it's entirely different because Inception, they knew where they were going. They knew the dangers, like, you know, because it was a deliberate, type of movie. But in this, it was discovery. All along the way, it was constant discovery, which I thought was very...
It was basically the other way around, like the victim of the heist.
Yeah, they didn't know where they were, so they kept finding out. Yeah. And I loved all the references to popular movies in that throughout. And the funny thing was is that then I was eager to watch it over again because that totally changed the beginning for me.
Yeah.
Why the doctor, when he shows up on Clara's roof, you know, is so urgent and all that. Because I didn't know the first time, you know, I didn't understand why he was so serious and wanting to get her into the TARDIS, you know, but I kind of forgot about that. But then when I watched it again, it's like, oh, yeah, because this is one of those dream levels he's trying to get her out of.
Right. This is three levels down.
You know, so it made a whole different kind of a story for me when I watched it the second time. I was kind of bored with the Danny Pink stuff, you know, because that's kind of been boring me for the whole season. So I wasn't happy to have him there, but hopefully this puts his story to rest.
Yeah.
I don't object to the fact that Clara is going to continue to be a companion. I'm looking for interesting and engaging stories, you know, because I think she's a wonderful actress and I don't mind her character. I just don't like what has been being done with her this last, in season 8.
I agree, Mary.
I'm looking forward, if this is any indication, I'm looking forward to what next year brings.
That's the thing I hoped you were going to like about this episode was the fact that this... Oh, dear. There's no need to start getting petulant just because I agree with you. This happened last week. It's got to stop.
I wanted to bicker. Damn
it. No, the fact that... I only lost my train of thought there. This was felt very much like the Doctor... was in control of the episode, and she was the companion.
They were finding out together.
He had a lot of it figured out ahead of time, and he was just kind of bringing everybody along with him.
The
other good thing about this episode, the characters are all very strong, and you remember them all quite vividly.
Right. Yes.
And if you think about it, at the end, that's probably what their subconscious wants them to be, and it's what they have potential to be, but they end up working at silly places that limit them, sort of thing.
As we visit them in their old lives, you know, you can see they're, I don't want to call them pathetic, but you can see that they look at themselves a little less. Yeah.
I love also the fact that the Doctor has sort of his own sort of one-word names for lots of people. Obviously, Danny was P.E., Shona was the gobby one, and the sexy one was the old one, probably because she was had a Scottish accent, I suppose. I don't know. Either way, I just love that. And he's obviously going to continue with that, I think, because he's done it quite a lot. over the Series 8. So,
Santa Claus called himself Papa Crimbo.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
But he was great, wasn't he? I mean, again, this is what I'm glad I got the prediction right, because obviously when this sort of prelude clip came up at the end of the last episode, I remember Kirby saying, oh, I think I'm going to hate it. And it just looked so absurd.
I didn't say that.
Did you not? Okay. Well, somebody said that I think they're going to hate it. And I said, I think what I think we're meant to sort of think that, meant to think this is going to be absurd. Yes. And it turns out it's not. And I'm so pleased that that's the way it went. Ben aside, it for me was thoroughly enjoyable. And like I said, a second favourite Capaldi episode so far.
It's funny you lot that said something about you were going to hate it.
All right, okay. Well, I think there was a bit of a worry. I remember, was it Jeff Waddle? I don't think he liked the episode anyway, but Jeff Waddle said he probably wasn't going to watch it. He did watch it.
He said he didn't love it, but he didn't hate it. It was all right, basically.
Well, that's an achievement from an episode he wasn't actually going to watch.
Yeah. It does. But I also thought it had some great Moffat horror in there, because he always did these moments in things like Silence in the Library and stuff like that, when he said, you've got two shadows and things like that. In this, he realizes that there are four manuals but eight crew, and he says that to them, and they all stop for a second. Or like Robert mentioned, the line, I'm very, very dead, or we're all very, very, very dead. And it was just nice little tension moments that I like from him.
It was just really good. I mean, it's just a really good episode of Doctor Who. I'm sure a lot of people, right, let me finish this particular point before you go master, is that a lot of people who don't normally watch Doctor Who will sit down and watch it on Christmas evening because there's not much else on. It's probably the episode in the year that gets the most viewers because it's on Christmas evening. And BBC doesn't do a lot of repeats on Christmas Eve, unlike some of the other channels. So some people actually watch that and think, actually, Doctor Who's quite good. I might try and watch it next series because of an episode like that. And that's what they need to do with a Christmas special.
They
need to make them really good.
And then they've got
to wait
another 9 months.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
we'll forget all about it.
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be in their mind that it might be worth watching it.
Because it's back to a regular schedule, like with all the way up until season 5.
I think it's going to be the end of August, which is 8 months, isn't it?
Yeah.
So nearly 9 months.
Because normally full, you know, unsplit seasons started at April, but I guess they need to film it. So.
Series.
Yeah, they haven't started. They normally start filming now in January, don't they? So I think they're just about to start heading towards filming.
Series.
But yeah. So as a triumph, as far as Christmas dresses go, it was a triumph. So I think we should
season's
move towards
greetings.
A bit of feedback.
Series so, greetings.
Yeah. If I can actually.
I was trying. Master.
Yeah, go on then. While I load up the feedback, you continue with your master.
I was trying to point out that if you look around the base, not just the manuals are in groups of four, everything is in groups of four. There's four guns in a case. There's four. Yeah. The lockers are in fours. So it's not. Yeah. It was deliberate all through.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
And also, I noticed they tried not to show Michael Troughton that much on the bed. Because he's a bit larger and it might give it away.
Yes. Moving on to feedback. Now, the very strange thing happened in relation to feedback that I got on the 18th of December. Yeah, a bit like that. On the 8th of December, I got something from Billy Kirkbright, which is a review of Mordrin Undead. But when you open it up, it says 3rd of May. So I think Gmail's gone a bit bananas there. But just in case, Billy, you did send some feedback in for one reason or another, I didn't get it. So, right, the only thing we got, Jeff Waddle. Here we go. Meh. Wait. That's meh. Wasn't as good as some people say, wasn't as bad as some people say. The problem with it is it is completely predictable and it has been done before.
That wasn't.
Better in Amy's choice. And that it is, sadly, where the show is at. RTD ran out of steam after a season. Season 4 only redeemed it because it was Catherine Tate. The rest was instantly forgettable in the main. Season 5 was brilliant, fresh and innovative. Then it has went downhill. That's what it says. Then it has went downhill. Sorry, I'm just reading what it says.
Then it has gone downhill.
I know I liked a lot of the individual stories in Season 8, but as a season, it doesn't hold up for me. You could have taken Sansa out of Last Christmas and you would have had an okay episode. I also don't get this fixation of adding crap makeup to people. It adds nothing. RTD and Moffat were both guilty of that.
In what fact, makeup?
I don't know. The fact that Clara...
He's referring to the old age.
All right.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, yes. Okay.
The fact that Clara is on board of or for another season may be joyful to some,
series.
But not for me. Her story arcs have been done to death, and I haven't killed her. Sorry, I haven't liked her. I haven't liked her since the stupid idea to have her at every point in the Doctor's life. What utter crap. It was long gone time before... it was long gone
Jeff,
time for a fresh start.
The Christmas sherry.
Either with a new companion or have the Doctor on his own. I know, I wouldn't have the Doctor on his own. I've got to have a companion. The show has... Deadly Assassin. The show has suffered because of this insistence of both showrunners that the show is about the companion. The clue is in the title. Season 9... I will watch it, but it isn't a must-watch. Capaldi is being shafted like Smith was in Season 7 with poor direction and stories that were subpar. Have a brilliant one. I haven't finished yet. Have a brilliant one. And here's hoping we all have a better 2015. Thank you, Jeff.
Yes.
I noticed something. I think Moffat does listen to criticism and changes things up. Now, obviously, you can't change it while the season's going on. If you're not happy with the way the season's going, you're kind of going to have to put up with it. Because if you look at season 5, everyone loved it. They said, oh, the season arc is so good. He writes it so much better than RTD. We should get more of this. And he gave us more in season 6, which is where I kind of lost it. And then people said, okay, that was too much. Tone it down. And then in season 7, he did standalone. I said that I didn't like it. But people said that there were too many questions, too many plot threads running through it. So he made season 7 mainly standalone. We had the mystery of Clara, but that also led to criticisms of that's all she was. She was just a mystery. So this year, he gave us some more of Clara. Now, obviously, for quite a few people, it was too much Clara and not enough Doctor because it was a new Doctor.
Yes.
I think next year they have the perfect opportunity to give us an equal balance of both the companion and the Doctor, especially seeing as she doesn't want to come back to Earth because Danny is now fully gone because of this little bonus.
Yeah, this is what I'm hoping.
As he said, this was their bonus.
This is what I'm hoping, that she stays in the TARDIS. There's none of this backwards and forward to Earth. I really do hope that's what the road they're going to go down, yes.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's in the story. It's a perfect opportunity to do that.
Well,
that's what a lot of fans are calling for, like Jeff, like Gareth Lloyd from the podcasts that he does.
Like Mary,
there are quite a few people who are calling for that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting to note that the old Clara told the Doctor what she'd been up to over the 62 years previous. That she obviously didn't stick with teaching for too long. She just went travelling. So obviously what she's perhaps doing now.
She taught.
That was only a dream, though.
It was only a dream, but it's obviously in her mind that maybe when you have a dream, it's subconsciously that part of things you want to do. You know.
Yeah, but that was the Doctor.
And I don't think travelling Earth would be anywhere near as satisfying as travelling in the TARDIS. So that's
wasn't it Robert. It wasn't. It was partly the Doctor. It was a shared dream.
It was a shared dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but she was asleep.
She didn't, at that time. She didn't just travel. she taught in all of the countries in Europe.
Okay, well, maybe she can teach on lots of different planets then, Kirby. I don't know.
I basically viewed that scene as her subconscious telling her that, because she also mentioned that there were many proposals to be Clara in her life, but she turned them down.
Yeah.
That was her subconscious saying no one would ever be as good as Danny, and I think it was also her subconscious saying that you have to travel, you love traveling, and that's because of being in the TARDIS, and now she can, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see Samuel Anderson back, but as
his great-great-great-great-grandson.
Right.
And is she pregnant?
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's certainly no hint of it in this story, but...
I kept on looking out for that because...
We don't know where we are in the timeline. Maybe she's had the baby.
Yeah, but it's anything like Amy, already... you know, Amy had the baby and had no clue.
Yeah.
It does make...
Moffat's already done that story.
There must be some explanation. There must be some explanation of this awesome chap. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, right, so let's do a little
but
bit
Moffat
of a news.
Moffat does that.
He does do that.
Yeah, but I think Moffat has said that some questions will be answered in next series.
Good, right. Mm-hmm. News. It says, Jonah Coleman's future confirmed. Spoilers. So,
really?
Yeah. Spoilers. The BBC has confirmed that Jonah Coleman will be staying with Doctor Who for the foreseeable Woo-hoo. Future, with the actress signed up for the entire run of Series 9. Hang on, that's got to be worth a hallelujah. No, I can't be bothered about it. It's going to be a hallelujah noise because I like her, and I like the
me too.
You know, like characters that. To stay on the show, basically, especially companion characters. So I'm pleased with that.
Alan T. Butcher said that change is always a good thing for Doctor Who.
Well, it is, but it's going to happen at some point.
Best things for it. Oh yeah, but he says also stability is also a very good thing. It gives you a chance to build strong stories. So I think they've got the perfect opportunity for that.
Yes, Kirby.
Did we not have Andy Nunney's feedback, or did I miss it, or what?
If it was sent via Facebook, I have missed
it. No, he did post on Facebook 14 hours ago, alcohol-fueled BU whoop, which means
right.
He sent it in.
I mean, it might be so alcohol-fueled that he sent it to the wrong email address. I'll have a look, but I can't see anything on there. But we have had issues where Gmail, I had some feedback from somebody a couple of weeks ago. And I got then another message from saying, oh, you didn't read my feedback. I'm not sending it in again. And then it popped up. It seems to be that
That's
there
what
might
she
be
said.
Be quiet. Might be an issue with Gmail, but I'll have another look just in case somebody opened it without my knowledge, because I like to leave them unopened so as I can see
Search
them quite clearly.
for something from Andy.
All I've got from Dawn and Andy Nunney says top 10 episodes, 29th of November. That's all I've got.
Oh.
So I don't know what's going on there. No, I haven't got anything. It might be there, but it might have arrived. And they went into bin. Where's the bin? Deleted.
Oh, that's not very nice.
No, I wouldn't have put it in there, but I've got a spam folder.
Yeah.
No, it says MB feedback. This money-saving offer will make you a pharmaceutical
that's Andy.
Shopping.
That's Andy. Yeah, yeah. He's selling us wine.
Matthew Kressel, from Matthew Kressel, on the 22nd. Oh, got Matthew. It says... Oh, why is this message? It said, hi, how are you? I saw it on TV. Mysteries of the Universe revealed CNN, it really works. But it's been tagged somebody, Natty Kressel, and it doesn't look like him. It looks like somebody's attached his name to an email.
Yeah, he had his account hacked. Yeah,
that's probably what that one is then. Other than that, let's see, I'll do, what's his name again?
Andy Nunney.
Andy Nunney. I'll do a search. Andy and Dawn. There we are. I'll see if anything comes up. No, just says top 10 episodes. Death in Heaven.
I think
feedback.
Maybe you were right. He was too alcohol fueled.
Yeah, that has happened in the past. Yeah. Once he was so alcohol fueled, he actually sent the same feedback.
Jeff sent his. Sent his email to his doctors and his prescription medication to us.
And of course, the doctor then referred him to some psychiatrist. Right, so yes. The confirmation follows speculation that Coleman would leave the series after the Christmas special, last Christmas, or partway through the next series. Head writer Stephen Moffat told an invited audience at the press screening for Last Christmas that he was delighted the actress was staying with the show, although he admitted it was touch and go for a while. So, yeah.
Matthew, this status.
Pardon?
I'd touch her and go, what?
Why?
Matthew updated his status while Kirby posted a photo in Earth Station Who.
What's that got to do with anything while that's at home? Right then. Last Christmas overnight rating.
Photos in four different places.
Right.
19 minutes ago.
Doctor Who is number 7 in the Christmas Day overnight ratings.
In the UK.
And like I said about the stuff on BBC One, massively, you know, outshines the stuff on ITV. When you look at the top 7, number 1 was Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas Special, which we haven't watched yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Number 2 was Endis. Sorry, Mary, but it's It seems to be a trend for British soaps to be completely depressing on Christmas Day, and EastEnders is one of the worst for a depressing Christmas Day episode.
What was shocking about it?
I haven't seen it yet, so don't.
What was shocking this year? Well, nothing. It's just boring.
Apparently.
Maybe, I don't know. Strictly Come Dancing Christmas Special. I was number three. Again, that was very, very good. Number four was Call the Midwife. Oh, that was wonderful. You get a chance to see Call the Midwife Christmas. Vanessa Redgrave was actually in it in person. I know she does the voiceover, but she actually was in it.
Wow. Yeah. I've got that recorded, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's absolutely delightful. Episode of Call the Midwife. Number five, and it's coming back. Coming back in January for a new series. Number five, Miranda... Christmas special, and there's two of them.
We've just seen the second yet.
And number six was Coronation Street, so that's the first one from ITE to actually appear in the top seven. And then number seven, Doctor Who, which appears, fortunately, I'm very glad to say, above Yaunton Snorri at number eight. Her Majesty the Queen was at number ten, above the news and Downing Street and stuff. So,
Downton Abbey, he's referring to.
Yaunton Snorri is his official title. Actually, there was a quite interesting episode of
Yaunton Street.
Yes, very good. There was a quite interesting episode of Yaunton Snorri, which was on during the Text Santa marathon. What do they call those things with its charity?
Did they have mobile phones back Telethon. In those days?
Be quiet. When George Clooney appeared in a sort of an episode-ish, a mini episode of. And that was a dream episode, funny enough, of Downton Abbey. But, yeah, it was quite great to see George Clooney. So maybe Doctor Who can get hold of George Clooney for an episode, and that'd be good. Right, moving on. Last Christmas AI, 82. Is that good, Reese?
Yes.
AI is a good movie.
Yeah, Audience Appreciation Index.
Yeah. Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Apparently so. Yeah. That's about it, apart from Last Christmas was debuted in Australia, averaging 563,000 viewers.
What about the fact that it was 50 years ago yesterday that Susan left the show?
Mm. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Because I'd like to look back over Christmas episodes of soaps, because I told you about... EastEnders and Coronation Street both being the most depressing things on over Christmas. I'd like to see, because they would have had episodes on over Christmas since 1962, whenever Coronation Street started. And see if the original trend was to be depressing on Christmas Day. Find out when I'll have a look into that. Nothing to do with the podcast, I just sort of, it came to me at the time. And I think I'm going to turn my speaker on now. I just knocked the microphone. I do apologise, listeners. I've got a bit of a beard and I just did a ruffly noise against the microphone.
Too much.
And I'll tell you what we're missing. Do you know what really we are really? Yeah, can you just speak? I need some
Ian Kirk.
Apart from Ian Kirk.
Yeah.
Severely missing Captain. Mrs. Melrose, who decided to work today, so why she couldn't be on the show.
Make a living.
She gets off. Right,
I know she did. But what you don't consider is that poor Reese and Robert will have to go to bed soon.
Anyway. Well, and I thought that Kirby had to leave.
No. I said if I get
it, make like a tree and leave.
So far, that has not happened.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
Anyway, on with the show. It's time for this week's returning edition of You Won't Get This One. Right, the first question goes to Kirby. So expect pedantry, everybody. What did Santa ask to be cleared up from the roof?
The tangerines.
Oh. Like I said, expect pedantry is the correct answer. Being correct is fairly pedantic, isn't it, in itself? Yes, Reese.
Yes.
What is Santa's initial explanation of their presence on the roof to Clara?
I know.
They're just normal roofy people going about usual roofy business.
It's essentially the right answer. Well, the actual quote is roof people going about their roof things, but that's near enough for 2 points. Yeah. Right, Mary.
Yes.
What year's naughty list was Clara on?
I know.
I don't remember.
Oh, so it's a...
I know, but I think...
Hang on. Kirby said I know. Go on, Kirby.
Okay. 93.
Is the correct answer. Right. Robert.
Why? What was the reason?
What band came out of that?
That's not what... I haven't got that down as one of the questions, Robert. I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's right. It was mentioned someplace else. There was a reason, but what was it?
Now go on, Robert.
Did she stop believing in Santa?
No, different year. That was the year before she stopped believing, I believe.
Okay. I believe. Right, then. Anyway, Robert.
Let's see, it doesn't matter. How old?
Are you sure you believe? Or were you
93. She was born in, what, 86? 84, 86?
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I'll disappoint you if you don't shut up.
She was 9 years old anyway, wasn't she?
Right, Robert. She stopped believing, yes.
Robert, what age did Clara stop believing in Father Christmas, Santa Claus, etc.?
I just said it 9.
Yes. Kirby.
Dictated the question.
Kirby.
Yes.
Who was first sent into the infirmary?
I know.
Reese knows.
Ben.
Shona.
At the beginning.
Reese? Right, point deductible, please.
Well, you said I knew, so I could go for it.
No, he was, hadn't said he didn't know yet.
Okay.
I don't understand the question. You mean sentenced?
What?
Sent into?
Sent into. Okay, I'm going, what?
Right, no points there for anyone. Right. Reese, to redeem yourself.
I would have been able to answer it if people hadn't been talking. And
that's why he got his points deducted. That's why he got a point deducted, Kirby. Right.
Wait, I got a point deducted.
Not you!
I did.
Right. Reese, how many sleepers were inside the infirmary?
4.
Oh, look, you redeemed yourself.
That's easy!
Mary.
Yeah, that was too easy. That was, should have been
mine. Wasn't, be quiet. Yes. Mary, what song did Shona get carried away dancing to?
Don't remember the name of the song.
Well, that's a bit of a shame, because that's what the answer is. Anybody?
I don't know what it was called.
You don't?
I don't know what it was called.
Oh, what a shame. So the answer was Merry Christmas, Everybody by Slade. Right, Robert.
Slade.
Who are they?
Never mind. Robert.
Yeah, here in the States, we don't have that group.
Which is a bit of a shame, because it's one of the greatest selling Christmas records of all time in this country, and it's made Noddy Holder, who wrote it, an absolute packet. And he lives off just off royalties from that particular record. Right, so we're moving on. Robert.
You've got something to miss.
How did Shona describe the Doctor?
Oh, I know.
Ah, that was Skeleton Man, was it?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
What does Dan Starkey's character threaten the Doctor with?
A balloon animal.
What colour was it?
I don't get the
It was orange.
It was orange.
Orange.
Yes. Right. Reese?
Yes?
What 3 words does Santa have for Shona?
I
know. My Little Pony.
Is the correct answer.
Yes.
Right. Mary.
Yeah.
What is the big problem in telling fantasy and reality apart?
Oh, I don't know, I think.
Whoa, not knowing the difference, I don't know. What?
No,
I know.
Right. And Reese knows. Go on, Reese.
They're both ridiculous?
Is spot on correct answer.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Robert.
Oh, that's the thing. Yes, sir.
What did Ashley say when the Doctor asked why they were all at the base?
They all said.
It's a long story.
It's the correct answer. Right, so
is the next question, what did the other characters say when asked?
Yes.
No, the current scores are, in last place with no points, it's Mary. In joint second place with 5 points each, it's Kirby and Reese. And then the lead with 6 points, it's Robert. Right, this question goes to Kirby. Right, what did Santa feed his reindeer to make them fly?
Magic carrots.
Is the correct answer.
That's why I did mine.
Magic carrots.
Right. Reese.
Yes.
What did the Doctor think was really offensive?
Oh, the fact that there's a movie called Alien, a horror movie called Alien.
It's correct.
Right.
Mary.
Yes.
What surprises did Clara hope Danny had for her? There's 3 of these, and you can get a point for each.
I've got one of them.
Like what's under his Santa suit?
No.
No.
Just use your imagination.
Ooh, Mary!
Anything else? I'll give you another go. Get one of them.
I don't know.
Okay, so therefore it's that. Now, Reese, did you? You were the why, were you not? Was it Reese who said that he knows, or was it you, Robert? I can't remember.
I said I got one of them.
Go on then, Robert. Give me one of them.
Chocolate.
Well, surely chocolate is just chocolate.
As opposed to white chocolate?
Well, I'm for it. I'm not one of the, as far as the script goes. Does anybody actually know any of them?
Not without reviewing the subtitles.
Right, in that case, it's a big fat. The answer was tickets for the Indian Orient Express, that painting they saw in Paris, and
permission to own a cat.
Yes. A bit late now, Kirby. So you could have said.
I know. That just got to that point in the video.
Oh, you were cheating, basically.
How come I keep getting the questions that nobody else knows the answers to either?
Anyway, Robert.
Just yes, lucky, sir. I guess.
Robert, how did Danny Pink die, according to Danny?
Sorry, could you say
how
that again?
How did Danny Pink die, according to Danny himself?
Anyway, he died saving Clara, and the rest were just lucky.
Whoa, that's almost word for word. So, well done. Yeah. Right. Kirby. What had Santa remembered to switch on?
The Northern Lights.
Ooh, is correct. Yes. Reese.
Adam.
What were the second group of four words the team? The second group of four words the team read from the manual. What was the second group?
That was my introduction.
Very, very, very dead.
Very, very, very wrong. Anybody really? Else?
It's not.
We are all dying.
That's the third one.
I'm going to give Mary a point for that because it was nearly right. So, Mary, you get this.
Well done, Mary.
Thank you.
The actual words were, we are all dead, but that's a pretty good going on.
It was the isotope and then the other one that ended in chocolate. Right. And okay, cool.
I think, therefore, this is Mary's go. Right. Who did Santa say he could text?
Oh, I know.
The Easter Bunny.
Is correct. She's rallying. She's rallying.
Hey, finally.
Right, Robert. Yeah. Robert, how did Santa affectionately refer to himself?
You said that before. It was Mr. Crimbo or something?
I'll give you a point for that, because I'm not quite right.
I said I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Sweet Papa Crimbo.
I'll give you a point for that, because that was the correct answer. Right. Right, so we're back around to Kirby now, and the scores currently are in last place with 3 points, Mary. In third place with 7 points, it's Reese. In second place with 9 points, it's Robert. In the lead with 10 points, it's Smarty Pants Kirby. Right, talking of Smarty Pants Kirby.
Have you changed your name?
Smarty Pants?
This is Kirby's
Smarty
question.
Pants Kirby.
Smarty Pants.
Kirby, other than Clark. Church! Kirby, other than Clara, be quiet. Other than Clara's hand, whose hand does the doctor?
I can't understand you.
Be quiet. Other than Clara's hand, whose hand does the doctor hold while in the circle?
Shauna.
Is correct. Reese.
Yes.
What social media site does the doctor refer to?
I know.
Facebook.
Correct. Mary.
Yes.
How does Doctor refer to Shona?
Oh.
I know.
Is it Gabi one?
Is the correct answer. She is running. Hey. Robert.
Yes, sir.
What time did the Doctor fly the sleigh past Big Ben?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't even looking.
You should have been.
Yes. Is it 12 a.m.? I don't know.
Oh, that'll do. 12 o'clock.
Yeah, you got it.
Well done, yes. Good guess. Okay. Good guess. Right, so... With 3 questions left and 4 people in the game, the next ones are all free-for-all, and the current scores are, in last place, with a rallying 5 points, is Mary. Thank you, Robert. In third place, with 9 points, it's Reese. It would have been on 10 points if you hadn't had a point deducted. In second place, with 11 points, it's Robert, and then the lead, Smarty Pants Kirby, with 12. So, last 3 questions, free-for-all, right. Which of the base team left the sleigh first?
Ooh.
I know.
Hang on, Reese knows. Reese knows. Go on, Reese.
Yeah.
Reese?
The sexy one, but I can't remember her name.
It's got to be a blooming name. It's got to be her name, for goodness sake.
What's the name the doctor gave her?
Oh, I'll give you a point. Yeah. I'll give you a point for that, Reese. Even though it's not the name. The answer was Bellows. Right. So I'll give you that. That's a. Right. Next question. penultimate question, in fact. What was, and this penultimate question of 2014 in who, you won't get this one, so this is quite a big one. Right, what was number five in Shona's list, Shona's to-do list?
Was that the Games of Thrones marathon?
It'll do for an answer.
It just says Thrones Marathon,
but he did. But the word was there, so I'm afraid I have to give him that. Yes, it is. The word that was there. So it is. All right, there's no need to get petulant just because you're in last place.
Got a point.
Last question.
I just moved the chair, that's all.
Oh, it's not you. I thought it was Mary. It's normally Mary. It's normally Mary throwing glasses around her kitchen and stuff. Just last question of the year. What colour Christmas hat did old Clara wear?
I know.
Oh, Reese knows. Reese?
Yellow.
Is correct. Right. So, final scores. Last place, with a creditable five. Don't throw anything around. It's Mary.
Thanks for that.
I thought Mary did quite well.
Don't patronise her.
You have so little faith.
In joint second place, with 12 points each, Kirby and Reese. And the winner, after a long time in waiting, it's Robert with 13 points.
What?
So let me see. He makes a rare guest appearance, and he walks off with the contest.
I only watched it once.
Yeah, go on, Kirby.
And he only watched it once.
Go on, Kirby.
I probably asked this a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, but I'm asking again because I don't remember the answer. Christmas crackers. How much do they cost in Britain?
Depends on what's in the crackers.
Yes, the quality and. If you want
prizes, you have to pay deluxe prizes.
No, I don't want – not the deluxe ones because I can't afford the deluxe ones here. I got – I normally get the ones from the main maker of the crackers, but I
– Oh, is he gone? Probably just as well.
That's why they were. Let me ask a question.
Thanks, Skype, for that. Thank you for cutting him off at that particular point.
About the Christmas crackers, when he and the older Clara pull their crackers apart, he looks at her and says, "Oh, I'm sorry." Why did he say that?
He wished he'd come back earlier.
Yeah.
Because she'd aged.
Well, I thought, when they pull the cracker apart, he says, "Oh, I'm sorry." So I thought maybe something was wrong with the cracker.
I'm not sure about that.
But there's also, remember in time of the doctor.
Wow.
Remember a time of the doctor when Clara did the same thing with the old doctor?
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know where he's gone.
Alluding to that, I don't know.
So there was nothing wrong with the cracker when they pulled it apart?
No. I don't think it made it pop, though, did it?
No, I mean, it didn't make any noise at all.
He's all right, he's back.
He doesn't see her any different. She wasn't able to
I didn't. To the cracker. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No. We didn't get any of what you said.
Did I go?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
I could hear you guys.
Did
you go? I could hear you guys here, and I'm going.
What?
I'm wondering what's going on. No, I didn't.
Okay, go on and carry on asking the question about crackers, how much they cost. Well, you can get a cheap set for a fiver.
A cheap set, and how many are in the cheap set?
Six.
12.
Yeah, I got 12 for probably $15. So that's probably
quite a good price.
Probably 20 some.
How much is it now?
That goes the other way, so it's probably more like £10.
Anyway, enough of the 20 megabyte Christmas cracker podcast.
I could tell they were cheaper. They were cheaper than the other ones but they still had the bad jokes and everything. I mean, what is the biggest ant?
Bad jokes.
No idea.
Welcome to Kevin's Shopping.
Harrods ones are quite expensive.
Yes, everything in Harrods is expensive.
Yes, it is. I can vouch for that. I was in there the other week. It's ridiculous. Wow. Anyway, right, moving on. Yes. Sponsorship news. Whowon.co.uk have still got their Christmas Christmas stuff available.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Any of them?
Barry?
Is there any one?
Hey? Be quiet. And Lavazzi, who I mentioned earlier on, because I am wearing one of their products as we speak, will no longer be sponsoring us as of January. So, but thank you, Melinda, and we will still buy your stuff and still say how wonderful it is, but you might not get mentioned in the show every week. But that, and, unless, obviously, you decide to go back to sponsoring us. But I'm very happy that, to have been associated with Lavazzi over the last 12 months, and... he's still a member of the group, so and they still do wonderful products, even if we won't be promoting them as much as usual. So
one of which appeared in the BBC One.
Yes, in the iDent. Yes, so he was absolutely delighted about that. So hopefully that'll happen again next year. So yeah, that's about it really. Anybody else got anything to add before we wrap the show up? No. Okay. Well, thank you for everybody.
Put a bow on it. Yes.
Right. Well, except for like when we're going to record again and what we're going to be reviewing.
In the new year, and we'll be beginning our brand new series of what I call The Journey, which will start with Unearthly
what
Child.
What is The Journey?
And it's preceding three episodes. Sorry.
Just the first
episode. What's the opposite to preceding? Subsequent.
Subsequent,
yes. Isn't it? The first four episodes ever of Doctor Who. That's what we'll be looking at next time.
Yeah, but the first episode's only good at that.
Yeah, we know this, but we're not supposed to review it until we've watched it, though, Robert. Thank you very much. No. So, and it will probably end up being Monday, but it won't be Monday coming up. It will be the Monday afterwards. Does that make sense?
That sounds good, yes.
Monday after New Year's, you're saying?
Yeah, so not in 2 days' time, Monday. The Monday after that.
Or tomorrow for us.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I figured out what happened to my...
Yes, you sat on the mute button. Yes.
No, apparently something went wrong with my USB... the USB thing. Because
the
my
USB
keyboard
thing. Is that the technical term for it? Is that the USB thing?
USB hub.
Oh, that's it. Yes, I've got 15 USB hubs attached to my Mac.
Yeah, I've got a 15 USB hub and it...
Oh, I could do one of them.
15!
I just noticed that my keyboard's no longer working. So,
Well, I've got a USB hub with four attachments attached to my. I've got four sockets in the back of the computer. Three of them have got hard drives attached to them. The fourth one has got two other hard drives attached to it, and another USB hub. So, I could do with a 15 because I haven't got enough sockets. So, where'd you get a 15 one from then, Kirby? That works on Mac.
It's well, they all. It doesn't matter where. They all work on every computer.
Oh, good. I wonder if you can get TARDIS ones. You can get TARDIS USBs. I wonder if they've got 15.
Oh, yes, you can, but they're only like four.
Mm. Yeah,
four hubs.
Go on to that.
That's a shame. Well, I'll have to look for a 15 one now.
I got it at Micro Center.
Oh, yeah, it's next door then. I'll just nip to that in a minute. Thank you for that, Kirby.
Yeah, I know. But I've got three USB sticks, which are like 32 gigs, and then I've got a external hard drive and keyboard and Bluetooth.
Well, I've got 3 4-terabyte hard drives attached to my Mac, one of which is supposed to have Time Machine on it, but I found that Time Machine cannot cope with the amount of stuff I've got on my Mac, so I'm thinking of turning it into just a standard hard drive and just any files I really want to keep, just duplicate them onto the other disks.
It'll work better as a Time Machine if you paint it blue and...
I can't even be bothered to do the blooming rim shot, even though it's staring at me in the face. Okay, well, it is nearly New Year, so for New Year's sake... Oh, the Mac doesn't want to play it. I'm not really surprised.
Okay, so we will be discussing An Unearthly Child,
and
et cetera,
its subsequent three episodes.
And its subsequent episodes, because Unearthly Child's the name of the first episode.
On the Monday.
And the best episode.
Week from this coming Monday.
Yes, we're looking at, just so you can put it in your diary, the 5th of January.
5th of January.
Okay.
Hey.
Yes. That's the day I go back to work.
Is it? Oh, well, there you go. And I hope Debbie's available for that one. So it might be adjusted to Tuesday, depending on her availability, because I'd like to get her back on the show, because she is rather nice.
Yeah, I like that.
She is.
Right, so that's it then. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for being on the show this week. Thank you for mostly enjoying the Christmas special of Doctor Who. Well, that's all of you, actually, because only Ben didn't really like it.
He probably thought it was all right, but doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah, it's probably it. Anything that Moffat does, even if he likes it, he wouldn't say
so. He has a reputation to uphold.
So that's it then. See you next year. Daddy bye.
Bye.
Bye bye. Fancy
Merry
pants.
Christmas.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.